Our next guest has really broadcast in a number of different areas here, whether it be the Olympics, whether it be the NHL, whether it be doing some Sugar Bowl games, probably on a national scale anyways, best known for being one of the top play-by-play guys now, the NFL on Fox. And he's really risen up the ladder there. He's now calling some top games and in position to do some playoff games with Fox. And really just, I think, in a very enviable position there as far as what he's been able to rise to. So who better to talk about the present NFL scene and developments in the sports world than with the one and only Kenny Albert. And it's a pleasure to welcome him in. Kenny, welcome to the FDH Lounge tonight, sir.
Guys, thanks for the very nice introduction. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. It's great to have you in. And of course, you've covered a number of different sports here. I neglected to say Major League Baseball as well. So you're doing the games on Fox right now, presently with the NFL, and also doing some other regional games as well here. What are some of your favorites, just on a personal level here, as far as whether it's covering games in season, more on a local level, the NFL games on Fox? What are some things that really stick out in your mind as far as being some of the best to call?
Well, I feel very fortunate that I've been able to do as many sports and as many games as I have through the years now, and the variety is certainly something I love. Started out doing hockey, did minor league hockey in Baltimore for 2 years, and I've done the New York Rangers on the radio now for 14 years, and that's been a big thrill, having grown up attending so many games at Madison Square Garden, and about to enter year 16. It's hard to believe with the NFL on Fox, and as you mentioned, have had the opportunity to work playoff games now the last 2 years with my partners Darryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa. So as far as individual games, I think the playoff games that we've worked the last 2 years, Green Bay against Seattle 2 years ago, and then Arizona Carolina this past January, a couple of Sugar Bowls, an Orange Bowl, the Pro Bowl 2 years ago, and then with the MLB on Fox, it's great to be able to go around to some of the different stadiums, and I usually work about 12 or 13 baseball games every summer. So there are a lot of games that certainly stand out, and it's been a whole lot of fun.
Kenny, there's a lot of games that I have saved at home, actually, that you happen to have called, in as much as one of my favorite events on the calendar only comes up every 4 years, the Olympic hockey tournament. And of course, you've been able to call that with the NHL players being in there. I think I've got every game that involves one of the big six or so over the course of the last two Olympics in there. It's wonderful action. We talked in our previous segment about the concept of all-star leagues and all-star tournaments, and that really is the epitome of that. Plus, with the nationalism that's interjected, I mean, something like that's just about as great as it gets, isn't it?
Wow, I thought I was the only person that taped those games back in 2002 and 2006. You must have some library at home. But, sometimes you think back to how things came about and right place at the right time. And back in 2002, I was not scheduled to work the Olympics in Salt Lake City for NBC until, believe it or not, 5 days prior. Mike Emmerich, who's the top hockey announcer out there, he had to pull out due to personal reasons, and I got the call 5 days before, and it was just a great experience working both men's and women's hockey games in Salt Lake, and then had the chance to go back to Torino, and looking forward to Vancouver this year. So it's a tremendous couple of weeks. Like you said, it's mostly the NHL players, at least at the big, six or seven countries in the hockey tournament. The women's games are exciting, the U.S. and Canada are usually the top teams, although Sweden broke through in 2006. And this coming February in Vancouver should be another terrific couple of weeks.
Oh, it's going to be just amazing, and especially having it happen in Canada, just the whole thing is going to be so electric. It was great the last two times, but it should be on just another level altogether on Canadian soil. And, of course, as you said, now covering the games on Fox on Sundays, now in one of the big two teams calling the games. Your team that you have with the gentleman that you mentioned, and of course Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. The top two teams are going to cover not only, as you said, the best games during the regular season, but also the playoff games as well. So you're used to being on that. That thing going through essentially the preseason all the way through now the playoffs into January. What are your thoughts on the likelihood of it happening and what it would be like for everybody to adjust to? This talk about potentially going to 18 games now, 17, maybe 18. The commissioner's been talking about that, just sort of thinking out loud, it seems like, a lot of times when he sort of muses about what it would be like. But clearly there must be some preparation going on behind the scenes. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that it will happen at some point. You know, it might not be for another 3 years once the collective bargaining agreement that's in place now comes to an end and the league negotiates with the players on the new CBA. Fox holds a seminar every summer for the broadcasters and the production crews. There's probably about 50 of us on hand, and the commissioner usually comes every year and answers questions and gives a state of the league address. And one of the hot topics last year was expanding the schedule, perhaps 17 and perhaps 18 games during the regular season. And I think the thought process starts with the fact that there are too many preseason games. There are four preseason games. You know, so many of the top players barely play in two or three of them, and the fans have to buy the tickets for the most part as part of their ticket packages. So Roger Goodell really seems to be pushing for the extra one or two regular season games. I think one hurdle, and listening to some of my colleagues, former players at Fox who are now analysts, the players only get paid during the regular season. They get 17 paychecks. You have the 16 weeks of games, and then each team has a bye week. So I think the players are certainly going to want a prorated, additional salary, to be frank, if the league does add the extra games. But it seems like everybody's in favor, the players, the coaches, management, the league office. And again, the players are certainly going to want to get paid, based on 17 or 18 games instead of 16. But it's something the league really wants to do. And again, I don't know if I necessarily see it happening in the next two or three years. But I think once the new CBA kicks in, I think that's something we'll see. I know the NFL likes starting after Labor Day weekend. So, the Super Bowl has been played in February the last couple of years, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do have the extra week or two if it actually goes even deeper into February and, we see the Super Bowl played in future years right around President's Day, February, 15th to 20th, somewhere in that range.
That would be just a radically different scenario, and it would be potentially it would be conflicting with the Daytona 500. So there's all kinds of ramifications that could come out of that. As you look at it here, Kenny, I know that your time calling the NFL games has been spent on Fox, which means that you're only seeing the AFC teams kind of intermittently on a first-hand basis as far as the games that you're calling. I know that it may not have happened that often, but as good as Tennessee's been over a good chunk of time, I'm guessing here and there you might have called some Tennessee games. What are your remembrances on seeing Steve McNair in there and potentially if you'd called any of his games?
I did call a few. Obviously, he did not play this past year, but as you said, Fox has mostly NFC. It depends on the visiting team. So when AFC teams play a home game against the NFC, it's on Fox if it's not a Sunday or Monday night. Ironically, this year I was in Tennessee twice, once in the preseason and then once in the regular season for a game against Green Bay. But did call a couple of Steve McNair's games in past years, and just a terrific quarterback. A guy who willed the team on his shoulders. Back in 99, early 2000, when they reached the Super Bowl and nearly led them, obviously, on a game-winning drive. Played for one of the best coaches, I think, in the NFL, in Jeff Fisher, and obviously a tragedy. And we'll never know everything that went on, leading up to the tragic situation that took place 2 weeks ago. But as far as what Steve McNair was able to do on the football field, certainly a terrific quarterback, a great leader, and I enjoyed watching him play the few times I did get to see his games in person.
Yeah, that definitely, I think, is the way people are remembering him on the field. Just a very gutty guy, definitely a warrior. As you look at this, again, I'm sure, you know, it's July. I'm sure you're starting to look ahead to the coming season. Although you're doing Ranger work and all the other things that you do during the winter, probably working on the NFL is kind of, I'm guessing, like a 12-month-a-year thing. You're probably thinking, at least in the back of your mind, about these developments as they're happening through the off season. So, in your estimation, what are some of the more consequential things we've seen happen since the end of last season, whether it be the Cutler trade, whether it be the turnover in New York, new head coach with the Jets, their coach moving on to the Browns here with Mangini, some of the problem wide receivers, the continuing foibles of T.O. and Ocho Cinco and whatever. What are some of the things in your head that are the most important stories of the off season leading into 2009?
Well, I think the couple that you mentioned are certainly up there. I think, you know, for Fox, which covers the NFC primarily, the Bears are going to be a big story this year. You know, they finally seem to have that quarterback in Jay Cutler after going through so many guys over the last decade or two, really, since Jim McMahon left Chicago. I think the Brett Favre situation following whether or not he winds up in Minnesota, and we should know that within the next couple of weeks. I know Fox has one of the Minnesota-Green Bay games on the schedule in early November. I think the game up in Green Bay, actually, which would be the second game that they play in his return. So that would certainly be a huge story. You know, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, without T.O., with, you know, Wade Phillips coming back for another year. The Eagles have done some good things during the offseason. The Giants coming off their disappointing loss in the playoffs, and without Plaxico Burress now, with a young core of wide receivers, the Arizona Cardinals, can they do it again? You know, can they win their division? San Francisco and St. Louis should be improved with their new head coaches. Atlanta, you know, what can Matt Ryan do in his second year? The turnover in Tampa Bay with the new coaching staff and with some of the veteran players gone. So it's exciting. You know, as we get closer, you know, certainly I follow the developments during the offseason. I think in the AFC, you know, you can't forget the return of Tom Brady. New England, you know, was moments away from making the playoffs this year. You know, it went right down to week 17, just missed, and now they have Tom Brady coming back. Matt Castle in Kansas City, the Jets with the new head coach and Rex Ryan. So as I was saying, you know, I certainly follow the developments during the offseason, and as you get closer, our crew, for example, knows that we're going to do one preseason game on Fox, Philadelphia and Indianapolis, and that's only a little over a month away. So the juices start flowing. You know, you start getting excited about it as the calendar turns to June and now July and pretty soon August. So it's just such a fun time, you know, when training camps start and then you get into the preseason and all the hype leading up to week one. The season does start a little bit late this year. Some training camps don't even start until August, which I can't remember ever happening, but it should be a lot of interesting twists and turns, and I'm sure developments will take place over the coming months that you know, we can't even imagine right now, and I'm looking forward to it just as much as you guys are.
Oh, you're right about that. It really is a 12-month-a-year deal right now. Things are constantly happening, even during, you know, the dead parts of the off season. As far as hockey goes, again, we talked about the Olympics, and of course, you've covered it on a national scale, whether it be ESPN2, NHL Radio, OLN, etc. But as you said, dating back to 1995 with the New York Rangers, being immersed in that situation there and seeing them on a day-to-day basis here, surely you must have some thoughts here. It's been debated a lot online, I've seen, about signing Marian Gaborik. It's funny because I'm not a Rangers fan, but I happen to think it was a pretty good move for them. I've seen a lot of Ranger fans who don't like the move as much. Oh, the guy's hurt this much. Is he ever going to play 82 games, et cetera, et cetera? So what are your thoughts on that? Obviously, it's a high-risk, high-reward scenario when you look at his injury history. But, boy, if this guy can play a whole season in New York surrounded by talent, he would seem to me to be a Hart Trophy candidate.
Well, you're absolutely right. Health is the key, and Gaborik's a guy who went healthy. He's been one of the top goal scorers in the league, and unfortunately he's missed a lot of time, especially the last 2 years. One of the few times that I've actually seen Gaborik in person was two seasons ago when he scored 5 goals in one game against the Rangers. So
that's right.
I've seen him at his best. The Rangers have made a lot of moves since the season ended. They traded Scott Gomez away, who had a big salary for the next 5 years, to Montreal. In essence, they replaced that salary with Gaborik, and the Rangers need goal scoring. They finished towards the bottom of the league last year, They have a couple of good young players. Ryan Callahan scored over 20 goals last year. Brandon Davinsky is developing into a top six forward. But, you know, in Gaborik, they have a guy, like you said, if he stays healthy, he should be one of the top snipers in the National Hockey League.
I know that additionally, with covering the Rangers, another property there in New York, I know that you've done some TV work for the New York Knicks as well. Obviously, there's been a lot of focus over the course of the last couple of years leading up to 2010. I say this, by the way, speaking to you from our STN flagship city of Cleveland, Ohio, and certainly number 23 for our team here is somebody that the Knicks fans have been drooling over. And yet, as we've seen, really, over the course of the last 15 years or so, Shaquille O'Neal back in 96, Orlando to L.A., that's really the one example we've seen of a megastar player leaving money on the table, going to another situation. The Knicks fans seem to be set up for disappointment, it would seem, assuming that LeBron or Bosch or somebody of that ilk doesn't end up taking, you know, if they leave the Larry Bird rights on the table to come to New York. Unless that happens, it would seem that there's going to be a lot of disappointment there. Is there a scenario by which the Knicks fans could learn to live with, say, going after a restricted guy like LaMarcus Aldridge or somebody like that if plan A falls through?
Well, I think, you know, the good thing for Knicks fans is they have a great management team in place with Donnie Walsh, the veteran general manager, and Mike D'Antoni, the head coach. And, you know, when these guys came in last summer, they said, we're targeting 2010. You mentioned a couple of the guys, obviously LeBron James and Chris Bosh and potentially Dwayne Wade, although Miami did offer him the contract extension. So the Knicks have done a lot of maneuvering. You know, they're certainly not done as far as this offseason is concerned. And, you know, I think the fans realize that obviously LeBron is from Akron, grew up, you know, not too far from Cleveland. And I think if you took a survey of Knicks fans, you'd probably have over 50% who probably would expect him to stay home. But they certainly would also hold out hope and keep their fingers crossed. But I think the good thing, you know, as far as the Knicks go, is the experience and the skilled tandem of Mike D'Antoni and Donnie Walsh. So even if they don't get one of those guys, I would think they have a plan B and a plan C in place in their minds.
And with the reality of TV sports being what they are, contracts kind of come and go. This is, of course, a situation where the BCS is going to be moving now to ESPN in subsequent years. So you've got one more Sugar Bowl yet to go on this contract. How do you approach that in your mind? Is there a sense of some sadness that you've been able to be part of a great institution, a historic one, and call these games with such a great lineage? Is there a sense of just wanting to make the most of what you have left with it there? Or how do you approach something like that, knowing that the end is near with that contract?
Well, it's been a lot of fun to be involved in the BCS the last 3 years. And the first Sugar Bowl that I worked, I actually had a chance to work with Howie Long and Terry Bradshaw on the booth, which was a tremendous experience. Notre Dame, LSU, and I can't say enough about the preparation and the time that those guys put in. Terry hadn't been in a booth in about 15 years, and Howie had never done a live game, so that was certainly a career highlight for me. I worked the Orange Bowl the next year, and then the Sugar Bowl again this past year, and not sure how the schedule is going to fall out this year. Fox has the Sugar, the Orange, and the Fiesta. And, you know, in a way, it certainly is sad because I really enjoyed working those games, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I enjoy the preparation aspect, visiting the schools, visiting the campuses, you know, leading up to those games. But, you know, like you said, it is a business, and ESPN takes over after this year. But I think the good news for all of us who call football at Fox is that on the NFL side, they recently extended the contract 2 more years with the league, so we have 5 more years and hopefully a lot more, but we know we have at least 5 more NFL seasons to go. So while it's certainly sad that we lose the BCS games, we have 5 more years of the NFL set in stone at this point.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't think anybody sees Uncle Rupert letting go of the NFL anytime soon. So I think you're good there, Kenny. I think that'll be with you, I think, for a good long time from the looks of it here. But I just want to ask also, too, and it's sort of a similar question to a couple months ago on the show. We had on Jeremy Schapp, and it was a question that kind of came to mind then about it. It must be kind of a unique position that when you're a big-time broadcaster, you're going to have people come up to you and comment on your work, and, hey, I remember you calling this game or whatever, but it must be a great thing to not only have that be the case for you, but others who you really care about, your father or any other relatives. Hey, I remember, I have great memories of this or that or whatever. It must be really great and fulfilling to have people come up and not only talk about your own career, but people who are so close to you and share those memories with you.
No, it certainly is. And again, like I said earlier, I feel very fortunate that I've been able to work in this business following three other family members. I always joke that our holiday meals used to be equivalent to the first sports talk stations in America. You know, I remember all the conversations we would have and the stories that I would hear, and I would just try and take everything in via osmosis. But, it's been a great life, you know, traveling around with my father and seeing my uncles do their thing and, having the opportunity to attend so many games as a youngster and learn. You know, I feel like even though I had, you know, got great experience in high school and college in journalism and broadcasting classes and doing games on the school stations, I feel like I had, one of the top teachers as well living right in my house, and I was able to observe and tag along, and I wouldn't trade those memories for anything.
You know what, Kenny, when you were younger, if you could have possibly anticipated eBay coming along in later years, man, think what you could have gotten for some of those recordings, huh?
I have a lot of them in storage, a lot of old cassette tapes, and sometimes it pains me to listen to them to actually hear what I sounded like back then, but... you're right. There's probably a lot of stuff we all could have held on to if we only knew.
Exactly. You know, and even just any bootleg recordings of you guys at family dinners, that would just be tremendous to be able to be a fly on the wall for something like that. Well, one of the great families in American broadcasting, and as I said at the outset here, along with our earlier guest tonight, you guys really have that in common, you and Chip Carey. Tremendous genetics as far as having skills for this, and what you've done with it has just been phenomenal. We really enjoy listening to you, Kenny. We'd love to have you back on sometime, sir.
Guys, I really enjoyed it. You guys do a great job, and I'd love to come back on anytime.
Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, Kenny, too, I have to say this. You know, you and I might be the only guys out there that have all the tapes from 02 and 06 in the Olympics. I'm going to have the ones from 2010 as well here for the games next year. I'm sure you will, too.
All right, well, if I forget to set the TiVo or get a DVD copy, I know where to find one.
All right, you know where to come, Kenny. Thank you so much.